This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube page, 94WIP. Check it out there. All our great video content up every single day at 94WIP on YouTube. All right, crazy weekend, obviously. Phillies lose 2 out of 3. Joel on his way back. Flyers struggling. But the big story was buried on Friday, and that was Hassan Reddick traded to the New York Jets. I'm at Phillies game, Phillies Braves opening day. Standing around, Elliot's there, Ike's there, Seltzer's there, Jack's there, all watching the game, and boom, the notifications start coming in that the Eagles have traded Hassan Reddick. And my first reaction is I hate it. I mean, I hate the trade, and I believe it makes the Philadelphia Eagles worse. It's not often a trade comes down, an Eagles trade comes down, where I feel like Howie Roseman didn't get the better of it. I feel that way right now, considering where the Eagles are at, what they're trying to accomplish, what they've done this offseason. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And this one was a poor trade. So, Eagles are sending Reddick to the Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick. It could change if he reaches 67.5% of playing time and at least 10 sacks. The Jets taking on $14.5 million of Reddick's compensation. The Eagles account for the $1 million roster bonus, which was due earlier in March. So let's take this from the Eagles' perspective. Then we'll go into the return, what I think the Eagles are thinking in terms of the return and why the pick is out further, and really what this means to the team. All right, so from the Eagles' perspective, it doesn't make sense to me. They had the cap room to keep Hassan Reddick. They could have called his bluff. They could have had him come to play, and if he held out, he's only hurting himself. He's about to be 30 years old. They could have played hardball with Hassan Reddick, because they have the infrastructure, they have the GM, they have the other pass rushers, they have the team to play hardball with a guy like Hassan Reddick. He's going to show back up. He's not going to lose a year of service time and lose his free agency year next year, his probably last chance to get big money. He's not going to do that by not showing up. So the Eagles could have easily called his bluff. Now, were they worried a little bit about the locker room stuff? Perhaps. But is that worth it to get rid of your best pass rusher? It's not, in my opinion. This is a guy that has been nothing but productive since he got to Philadelphia. This guy's a double-digit sack machine. Even last year, starting the year with a club on his hand after thumb surgery, ending the year dropping back into coverage in Matt Patricia's defense, still had double-digit sacks. And you go back to 2 years ago, he was the best player on NFC Championship defense. He wrecked the NFC Championship game. He wrecked the NFC division run against the Giants. He knocked Purdy out of the game the week after, because the field was slippery and he couldn't get to Mahomes. That's primarily why the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. All this stuff about Hassan Reddick was right there. The evidence was right there. And then I even go back to last year, because, you know, as we've dissected and gone and done, you know, such like an autopsy on last year's Eagles team for the past few months. It's very easy to dole out credit the way you want to for the good and to take away credit or to penalize the bad, however you want to. It's like, it's a Rorschach test, right? Like, you view it the way you want to view it. And I go back to the beginning of the season when the Eagles were winning close football games. And early in the season, when they were winning, Jalen Hurts was near the top, if not at the top, of the NFL MVP odds. And every time Jalen Hurts' name comes up, it's like, see, Joe, he willed them to those wins. He was so great in those wins. Ah, I didn't think he was great last year, really, at any particular time. And I said that time and again on WIP and WIP Daily. I really, other than the Rams game, and I thought he played well in that game, I thought Jalen Hurts was choppy for all of last season. But what I can go back and look at with direct correlation is Haason Reddick's ability late in games, fourth quarter, to close the game out as a pass rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I can think of three games in particular. Late in the game against the Cowboys, Haason Reddick, big sack. Late in the game against the Rams, Haason Reddick, huge late sack to finish that game. And late in the game against the Washington Commanders, huge late sack to finish that game. Haason Reddick was not just a good pass rusher, he was a closer for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll present it to you like this. Let's go fast forward to this coming December, before the trade went down. And I know the Eagles have now, you know, they signed Bryce Huff, they drafted Nolan Smith, they restructured the contract for Josh Sweat. So they have those three guys. They have Brandon Graham, obviously. Come back for the farewell tour. But if I said to you, it is 3rd and 8, the Cowboys are down 24-20. Eagles up 24-20 on the Cowboys. There are 3 minutes and 43 seconds to go. 3rd and 8. Dallas has the ball on their own 43-yard line. It is a make-or-break play. It is a make-or-break drive. The division is on the line. Tell me the two guys you want coming off the edge for the Philadelphia Eagles. The answer, no matter how you line it up, no matter how you slice it, one of those names would have been Haason Reddick. It would have been. I would have gone Haason Reddick on one side, Bryce Huff on the other. The $17 million man, the $15 million man. Where they put their money in the pass rush the last couple years. That's who I would have put on the field. And now they've taken one of those guys and traded him to the New York Jets. The Eagles are a worse team today. Their playoff chances have diminished in my eyes today. Their offseason makes little sense now to me, because if you're signing Saquon Barkley, that is a right now, win now move. Well, then you keep Haason Reddick. That's it. Zero sum game. If you're all in to win the Super Bowl, okay, they'll all go along with this, then you sign a running back. Even though I probably wouldn't give the money to the running back, they signed the running back. Okay. If you're all in and this is the plan, then you do not trade away your best pass rusher. They did that. They traded away production. And now the Eagles better be right, and Howie Roseman better be right, that what he has on the roster is good enough. Because right now, it doesn't look like it's good enough. You know, you go through the Eagles and their pass rushers that are on the roster right now. Josh Sweat has one outstanding season in his career, just one. Bryce Huff has one, and that was in a part-time player role. But most of the time, he's been a single-digit sack guy. Most of the time, Josh Huff has been a single-digit sack guy. Nolan Smith has one career sack to his name. And Brandon Graham is more on a farewell tour than he is a production tour at this point. So you have four guys on this roster heading into next season as your quote-unquote edge rushers. And not one of them, you could tell me with conviction, will be a double-digit sack guy this coming season. Not one. Now, will one? Probably. But can you tell me with conviction that anybody is a double-digit sack guy? Definitely. I would say, based on track record, no. Bryce Huff has 1 year of doing it, and that was in a contract year. And that was when he wasn't the focal point of the opposing team's blocking, because the Jets had so much on that defensive line and the edge. And he came in on pass rushing downs. Nolan Smith, again, has one career sack and had a shoulder issue last year. We'll see if he holds up as a big-time pass rusher. I like Nolan Smith. I thought he looked to me like a star when I first watched him with his bend and his edge, like the future Haason Reddick. And maybe he still will be, but we're talking about 2024. And their ability to win a Super Bowl this year. It took a hit. Josh Sweat, there's a reason why he took a pay cut. Because the league and everyone spoke and said, yeah, it fell off last year. And again, Brandon Graham is about farewell tours right now, not about production. He's about, you know, just hanging out for more year and love BG, one of my favorite players of the last 20 years. But that, you can't count on that on 3rd and 8. and now they moved off that guy. Was the locker room stuff part of this? I don't know if you're going to bring up the Craig Carton thing. I don't know. I just don't like this deal. Now, as far as the compensation, I'll give Howie credit on this much. I think he's thinking ahead to the end of Rodgers and the Jets becoming a dumpster fire. You can say they're a dumpster fire anyway. But Rodgers is going to play in 2024. He is going to maybe play in 25. And then, like, just let's think about his age. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback in his 40s off an Achilles. And he was declining anyway at the end of the Green Bay tenure. That's why Green Bay moved off him and went to Jordan Love in 2023. So is there a chance the 2025 Jets are a complete and total dumpster fire? And that second, that, you know, they try to win this year. And Reddick plays a lot this year and produces the way he usually does. And then it conveys to a second round pick the next year. And the next year, they're a total dumpster fire. Maybe without Haason Reddick, maybe they re-sign him, older, maybe he goes, declines a little bit. Maybe Rodgers falls off big time. Douglas could get fired. Saleh could get fired. I mean, there's a chance the Jets have the number one pick in the draft 2 years from now. I mean, it's not crazy. I mean, there's a world where that happens. And then this pick becomes the 33rd pick in the draft. And it's like, wow, that's immense value. It's basically a first round pick at the end. I mean, that would be the pie in the sky ideal. Now, the other side, of course, though, is with these conditions. If he does this, if Reddick plays 67.5% of the snaps and gets 67.5% of the snaps and gets 10 sacks, I'm going to be annoyed. Because although, yeah, it nets the Eagles a second round pick, it means he can still play. It means the evaluation of his play is wrong. Because I think part of this is the Eagles think he might fall off fast. And I don't see it that way. Now, would I have given him a brand new contract? No, but I said this last summer when he did the hold-in. And I called it on WIP right away. This is a hold-in. And was like, nah, you know, he's not working out right now. No, what do you mean he's not working out right now? What do you mean he's halfway out there? He's holding in. He's causing a scene without causing a scene. And then he told reporters, you know what this is about. It's about money. The Eagles could have given him a bump. Trey Hendrickson, similar production with the Cincinnati Bengals. They bumped him up to $20 million per year. They gave him a pay raise. There was a common ground to be found here. And the Eagles didn't want to do it. From the minute Haason Reddick popped in his first year as an Eagle, on a three-year deal at good value for the Eagles, it felt like Howie Roseman has gone out of his way for this day. I mean, it really has for the last year. Like, okay, he overperformed. He was in the defensive player of the year race. He's soon going to want more money. How about this? I'm drafting his replacement in the first round. I'm signing another guy in the next year. I'm moving off them. Like the Eagles were never going to go further than they went in his first contract. It was obvious. And if that's their evaluation, that's fine. I think the pick actually could turn into a decent one down the line, but it's one they have to wait for. Now, maybe they could use it and flip it in another trade, perhaps, because I think there's value to this pick because the Jets could be a dumpster fire in a couple of years. But if we're talking about the 2024 Eagles, they got worse. If we're talking about their best combination of pass rushers, they got worse. If we're talking about having something proven off the edge, they got worse. And if the goal was to win a Super Bowl in 2024, that took a hit. It's not a trade I could celebrate. It's not a trade that makes any sense to me. It'd be different if their cap situation for this year was bad. It's not. Now you look down the line, it's not great next year. They don't have much cap room. And maybe they're trying to get ahead of issues they've created for themselves. You know, they keep pushing money into the future forever. I mean, every year you look at the cap sheet and they're paying two or three guys that haven't been here for a year or two. And that will continue with these dummy years forever and ever. That's what Howie Roseman does. And it's worked, but I wonder if every 5 or 6 years the bill comes due and then you have to move off a player. But boy, this is not the player to move off of. The guy is a double-digit sack machine, and I believe he will produce for the New York Jets. We'll see if he gets paid by them. And now the pressure goes on to Bryce Huff to perform up to the contract he got. The pressure goes on Nolan Smith to produce to the level of being a first-round pick. And the pressure goes to Howie Roseman. Because I'll tell you right now, the secondary is not enough improved. It's not. You know, just subtracting Maddox and putting in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson doesn't enough improve it. Right now, if they had to play a game, we're still playing with Bradbury and Slay. That's not good enough. And if this pass rush isn't good, the secondary that as it's constructed right now has no shot. You know, if they end up playing Jordan Love and the Packers in Brazil in week one, and Huff and Smith and Sweat don't get to the quarterback enough, Jordan Love will put up 400 yards. There's no question. I mean, he'll torch the Eagles secondary. This is not a secondary that is built to cover for 5 or 6 or 7 seconds. They're built to be opportunistic. They're built to be physical with Bradbury. They're built to be smart because they've seen it all. And they're built to make plays like a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson when the ball pops up in the air. But they're built to play behind a big-time pass rush. And that big-time pass rush was subtracted because of the trade away of Hassan Reddick. I thought the Eagles got cute. They overthought this. Maybe thinking about money down the line. Maybe thinking about pick down the line. But it's incongruent with the plan to go win a Super Bowl this coming season. It doesn't make sense to me to trade away your best pass rusher. They did that. They did it willingly. They had the guy under contract that could have put the ball back in his court. They didn't do it. It's a mistake. This is a Camden kid, Haddon Heights kid, Philadelphia kid, a Temple kid who came home, played his butt off for 2 years, had a ton of sacks, helped the team reach the Super Bowl. And instead of trying to make this work, the Eagles did everything in their power to get rid of this guy. I think it's a mistake. It's a rare Howie Roseman trade miss. Now, I think the trade compensation could, 2 years from now, we say, wow, I can't believe they got that pick. But for the moment, if the objective is to win the Super Bowl this year, I do not like it. Would love to hear you guys weigh in. Send me an email, joe.gilio@odyssey.com. Or, of course, Instagram, Twitter, find me, Joe Gilio Sports. Send me a message. What you think about the Reddick trade? We'll be talking about it all day on the Midday Show on WIP. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Stay dry out there. Go Phils. We'll talk very, very soon on the pod, as we always do. A lot of Phils content coming the rest of this week. Mock Draft Mania later this week. And you know how we do. We'll react to the Phillies, the Sixers. We'll see if Joel comes back. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing to WIP Daily.